Good morning, Danielle and Laura from Diamond Dental Coaching, right? Did I say that right? Yes. Okay, perfect. Diamond Dental Coaching. Welcome to the Dental Hygiene Basics podcast. I'm really excited to have you both on today because I just think it's fun to share multiple stories. And I like that your stories are like intertwined with one another. So I'm just going to have y'all both kind of start by telling me your background, what led you into dental hygiene and where you are now. Just go ahead and give us the full details of your RDH origin story.
I know. And it's pretty funny because Laura and I's story is like very similarly different, but yes, very much intertwined, which is pretty cool. So I'll give the beginning and Laura can kind of weave hers in. But for me, I applied to dental hygiene school as a senior in high school. At the time, I applied to, what was it, Northeastern. That was where my guidance counselor told me that Forsyth School for Dental Hygiene was still at. So I applied to Northeastern, and I obviously didn't get into their hygiene program because it didn't exist. So I was pretty upset about that, you know, wanting to be a hygienist, just knowing the flexibility of the schedule and wanting to have a family down the road someday. Like, that was just like my bigger picture dream, seeing my aunt be a hygienist and like shadowing her and doing all of those things. Like, I was like, no, this is what I need to do. Like, I was just really devastated that I didn't get in. But then obviously finding out that I applied to the wrong program, I was like, all right, I'll give it a year. I'll go to another college. I went to Merrimack College here in North Andover, and it was great. It was a really great experience because it was a bigger school and had a campus, eventually getting into the next year Mass College of Pharmacy, so MCPHS school. And then that's where Forsyth School of, Dental Hygiene was kind of transitioning to. So I guess that was like the miscommunication there with the guidance counselor. So I eventually got in, which was amazing. You know, it was a 3-year accelerated program. So I was still going to get out on those 4 years that I had promised myself. I was going to college for 4 years and that was it. So that worked out pretty well. And then that's kind of where I met Laura. So I'll let her kind of tell her story and then we can kind of tell our story from there.
Yeah, I love that. So I was not going to be a dental hygienist in high school. I wanted to be an educator. I wanted to work with children specifically. So I was originally going to school at Salem State for education. And I was like, I don't know. I like it, but we'll see. Whatever. Easygoing. And my Uncle Sully actually called me up one day and he's like, I just left the dentist. He's my good friend. You need to go there. He's telling me that dental hygienists are in need. And he was telling me like the qualities of the dental hygienist and you would just fit. You fit the quota, like go apply. I was like, okay. So I went and shadowed the hygienist that worked at that office. And I just fell in love. I fell in love with the education aspect. I fell in love with the patient rapport. I always loved going to the dentist. You know, as I was growing up, I always loved taking care of my teeth. So it kind of just fit. And then when I was at Salem State, I ended up applying to Mass College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences for their Forsyth Dental Hygiene Program and thankfully got in, transferred schools, and that's when Danielle and I met. And I love this because me being who I am, I was like front of the class, eager to learn. I want to meet everybody. Like, hi, I'm your friend. I love everyone. And Danielle's like in the back of the class, like, who's this crazy lady?
We are not going to be friends.
So true.
And look now.
And then, Danielle, I feel like this is where you should take over.
Yeah. So my dad and I are very close, and we went out to dinner one night at a local restaurant. And it was around this time of the year, Capellini's in Tewksbury. Yeah, it was around this time of year where it was holiday season and they were giving out gift cards and such. And I happened to look over at the girl that was handing out the gift cards for people that were walking in. And I was like, oh, that's, I'm like, Dad, I go to school with that girl. And he's like, yeah, she's a goody two shoe. He's like, oh, are you guys friends? And I was like, no. And he walks right up to her and he's like, are you Laura? You go to school with my daughter, Danielle. And I was like, Dad, come on. And of course, I was like, hi, good to see you. And yeah, from there, we've pretty much been inseparable since. But without that kind of intervention, I don't know where things would be. Obviously, everything happens for a reason. But yeah, pretty funny that that's kind of how things went down. And that was semester one of our program. So we pretty
Yeah, 3-year accelerated program.
Yeah, we pretty much spent the next 3 years commuting together and sleeping on couches and all of the fun things that go into studying for hygiene.
The tears, the sweat.
Late. Exactly. So, yeah, we've had pretty similar experiences, different but similar, like working experiences and such, as we graduated from school. Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. We have a very similar but different story.
Yeah, after we graduated, we both worked at different private practices. I was in Lowell with a doctor who I loved. The office was like family. And same with Danielle. Danielle worked for a private practice. You were in North Andover or Andover?
Yeah,
North Andover. I always forget which one. I was there for about 10, 12 years, right? The same for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we kind of moved on. I transferred offices. So my husband and I moved locations. We bought a house in Salem, New Hampshire. Our son was about to start kindergarten, so I wanted to be a little closer to home. And the building that we worked in was being taken over by eminent domain. So there was a lot of variables and unknowns. And an opportunity kind of just presented itself. An office had a hygiene availability literally 5 minutes down the road. And we knew, we went to hygiene school with the director of the office. So it kind of just worked out. I was like, how perfect. And Danielle was the one that actually told me about it. So I started working there and I was their clinical hygienist. And then I went on to become their oral wellness hygiene provider. So they had multiple offices and I was helping them create and implement programs for hygiene excellence and a periodontal protocol to make sure that all the offices were aligned, providing the same standard of care, that each office had the tools that they needed so the hygienist could do that. And in the meantime, Danielle was kind of dealing with burnout.
Yeah, that is where the burnout really set in, was like, and I feel like, I don't want to use it as like an excuse or anything, but I feel like a lot of people, and since COVID, like that was kind of that aha moment, or like the moment where a lot of us like woke up to like the reality of what we were living and how we were living our lives and the workplaces that we were allowing ourselves to be in and such. So I feel like for me, that period of time being home for 3 months during COVID, being able to be with my family and then realizing like there is more to life than being stressed out at work every day and, you know, having that anxiety every Sunday going to work and driving in and just knowing how your day is going to go. I mean, nobody wants to live like that. So I feel like that was really the pivotal moment in my career for me moving forward. So
yeah, so I definitely want to get more into the burnout. And I like that, Laura, you kind of ended up in education a little bit, you know, like it
does
with the oral health educator job. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So I always like to bring up different things that hygienists, you know, can do outside of just the clinical op. But y'all are both still working in clinical, right? In some regard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both work three and a half days clinically. And then we work for ourselves. We started our own business and we do that 2 days a week. We're able to fill our cups equally in all of the different avenues of things that we do. So it's exciting.
And I think that's one of the most important things, right? Is being able to fill your cups in all avenues of life, right? You want to have joy in every aspect.
Yeah, I was just doing an interview the other day and we were talking about different passions and how you can have more than one passion. Like you don't just have to become a dental hygienist and think, if I'm not practicing dental hygiene every single day, then I'm wasting my degree or I'm not utilizing my skills. I do public health dental hygiene one, sometimes 2 days a week, and I love it. But the other days I'm doing so many different other things that are also filling my cup up. And I remember there was a time whenever I had just graduated, I'd been working at an office for like 2.5 years and I felt very burnt out, which I mean, for a new grad to like feel burnt out that quick, what is going on? I thought it was a me problem. And I just remember thinking like, I got to get out. I don't know what to do, but I just feel like so overwhelmed. I also was like working on my master's and working full time and planning a wedding. And we were like, I was doing all of these things at once, but it was all coming down to like the stress of my job that I just wanted to leave. And at the time, I remember thinking like, maybe I should just go part-time. And looking at it now, I wish I would have just gone part-time and like filled my days with other types of job opportunities, because I think I needed that separation from like
being in that one op, feeling stressed all day long, like I wasn't moving fast enough, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like these are common concerns that people have. And I was not on social media during all of this time. I used to be on social media and that was off for like 5 years. Now I'm back with Dental Hygiene Basics, but there's so many resources now for people who are going through burnout. I'm like, oh my gosh, if this would have been around at that time, I feel like my outlook on life would have been completely different. And I even went to therapy and stuff like that. But I feel like if there would have been someone who understood what life was like in the operatory when I felt so stressed out, and someone could have told me, who maybe had more wisdom than me, like, this is not the best situation for you, you know, mm-hmm. what can we do to get you out of that? I was lucky my therapist was really good, but I would have really benefited from someone who knew what dental hygiene was about and the stressors that it plays on you. There's a lot of pros and cons to dental hygiene, but I definitely think there's more pros, especially if it's your passion. You know, you don't want to let that burnout run you. So tell a little bit about your business now and what you do and how you help people with burnout.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I come from the burnout background and Laura, a lot of the growth background. So we kind of mesh really well together and really helping hygienists that are feeling burnt out and are looking for growth in their career. It's just like a no-brainer. When you're burnt out, you're physically and mentally checked out, and being able to help these hygienists to really lay the foundation of, you know, again, why did they become a hygienist? What are they passionate about? What is their why? And then from there, once they have all these great tools and habits implemented, really helping them with their goals and growth. And so that's where we kind of mesh and come together and collaborate, kind of like a two-on-one. So both Laura and I work with each individual hygienist on every session to really help them grow in their career, to find out what they truly are passionate about and guide them through that process, that journey, and what that looks like for them.
Do you think burnout actually starts after graduation in the op? You know, people are just slugging it day in, day out, like trying to see too many patients. Or do you think some of this could even start in dental hygiene school or before dental hygiene school? Because when I think about my journey, I think about how laser focused I was on getting the good grades, volunteering. I remember being really, really stressed when I was going through my prereqs, like, I have to get this good grade, I have to do this, and like, I have to look like this perfect human being, right? I have to do everything right. And then you get into dental hygiene school and you're staying up late nights, you know, chugging coffee, just running on pure adrenaline for however many years that you're in the program. And then we transition. And it's like, do we ever give ourselves a break? Do you think that there's something to be said for burnout starting maybe long before we even realize it?
Oh, I couldn't agree more with that. And I think it really depends on the individual and their mindset, right? Like you perfectly described a lot of hygienists on having that perfectionism, like, I need this, this has to go a certain way. And if you can take a step back and tweak your mindset on how you present yourself and giving yourself grace and accomplishing your goals, it's truly about the journey, right? And I think so many of us can easily forget that and just be too hard on ourselves, right? And not allow us that space. And we beat each other up or beat ourselves up. We're our own worst critics, right? And so I agree. I think that it definitely starts beforehand. And I think it's starting if we had more tools to help us adjust our mindset.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think back on those times and it was like, I just need to get to this finish line. And I know people do that all the time. I need to get to graduation. And then I'll be licensed and I'll
make the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I mean, I had that journey too, when it was like, okay, I graduated and I knew I wanted to go into education. So then it became this new goalpost, right? I'll be happy when I start teaching. And then I worked my way to my dream job, which was me at the university. And it was like, this will make me happy. But then it didn't really make me happy. There was a lot of it that did make me happy, but I realized I was the happiest when I was like, working six different jobs, going somewhere different every day. Like, it's weird. You just have to learn a lot about yourself. Yeah. But I think one thing that people don't consider is that timeline. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to necessarily narrow yourself down to this one timeline, because everyone's timeline is going to look different.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with just kind of like taking it easy on the road to becoming a dental hygienist, right? And trying to like build that mindset beforehand. Yeah, I like what you said about just the mindset shift. And that's a lot of what I try and do on the podcast, like think about your mindset and the way you're thinking about things. And I like that y'all are providing that for dental hygienists now, because like I said, it's all over the internet, you know, burnout is everywhere. And to have someone in your corner who knows what you're going through, I think is just so helpful. So I love what y'all are doing. I do want to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, leading into dental hygiene school. If you're comfortable sharing, do you remember what your GPAs were?
Oh, God. I honestly, I know.
Yeah.
I think mine was between a 3.6 and a 3.8. I mean, I always generally did pretty well, not to toot my own horn, but.
It's okay. You can toot it here.
Yeah. So I couldn't even tell you. Yeah. I don't remember.
And then about how old were y'all when you applied?
Oh, I was 18?
17, 18, yeah.
So I was a freshman. How old was I when I was a freshman?
Senior in high school.
No, I was a freshman in college.
Oh, right. Okay, so yeah, you were probably
19, 18.
And then when you started, you were maybe like 19, 20?
Yeah.
Okay, so with the program that you went to, because I guess I was kind of confused because you said that you started, or it was a 3-year accelerated program. And do you just apply straight to the program and they do all your prereqs for you? Or do you have to take prereqs beforehand?
They do prereqs for you, but I was able to transfer some of mine over.
Okay, because y'all had started somewhere else and then you transferred into the school. And what was the school you said again?
Forsyth.
College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences.
Okay, awesome. Where's that at?
In Boston.
I was going to say, it sounds familiar to me, but there's so many dental hygiene schools. You're like, do I know where that's at? Okay, nice. And then what do you feel like in terms, do you remember the application process? Did you have to have an interview or what do you remember about that?
It was just an online form.
Yeah, it was pretty basic. Online.
This was 18 years ago.
Yeah. I know, but you know what, though? Really not much has changed. I feel like it just depends on the school. You either have just a form that you fill out and you shoot it in. It's like you shoot your shot and you see what happens, right? Some schools will have an interview. So it really just kind of depends on the school itself. But I think it's just good to prepare students for anything. You know, it's like you just never know. And they could change. All of a sudden, they're like, yeah, we do interviews now. So you just filled out a form, sent it in, and then all of a sudden you got a letter in the mail that said, congratulations. Oh my gosh. So roughly how many students were in your class?
I feel like it was a pretty big class.
I feel like there were, what, 40?
Okay. I was going to say 40. So I feel like, yeah, that's probably pretty spot.
And then I think we started with 40 and then it dropped.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was curious, because you were talking about, you know, you sat in different areas of the class, but like you really didn't become friends until in December, which I'm assuming you started early fall.
Fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I was like, there has to be some overlap between you two. But if you had a bigger class size, I could see how maybe you weren't, you know, and if you sat apart from each other.
Those classes, we weren't in all the classes. We weren't in the hygiene. We were doing a lot of the prereqs then.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. Okay. So we were in some classes together, but not all of them.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And then of course, once you really get into the thick of dental hygiene stuff, you're practicing on each other. And yeah. So I feel like the friendships really start to solidify once you get that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. You mentioned that some people dropped out. Do you know like why people drop out, or what are your thoughts on like ways that would help prevent that from occurring?
Specifically, a couple people that I'm thinking of. One was a personal reason, that like family, something happened with that. So I don't think that you can really control.
Right.
And then the other one, they were failing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if it just they were having too much fun partying, or if you know, they weren't taking the classes seriously enough. I'm not sure. But I think definitely preparation is important. You know, you want to set yourself up for success. So if you can implement habits, that's one thing that we help our clients with, is really implementing good habits that will set you up for success.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just being prepared, I think, is really important. I think that, I mean, coming from high school to college is obviously a huge transition in itself. You're very much on your own, so you need to be willing to put the time in, and then obviously you're investing in yourself. So I wasn't in that state of mind or you know what I mean, when I started hygiene school. But you quickly learn, like, okay, this is no joke. Nobody's helping me here. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I need to just do it.
Take initiative.
Exactly. Take the initiative to be present.
I didn't consider that because I went to undergrad first. And so I earned a degree before I ended up in dental hygiene school. And I feel like I just like sowed all my wild oats, you know, that first go around. And I was getting, like you said, getting used to living on my own, like cooking my own meals, like supporting myself, like trying to learn and figure out all of that. And then, of course, that was my first taste of freedom. So I was having fun going out, doing whatever. And I still had good grades, but I mean, I could have in some of the classes, you know, like my 7 a.m. Friday class. Like, why do you do that to people? I went out every Thursday. Why would you do that to me? That was, you know, I could have probably gotten better grades in those classes where I had those early Friday science classes, which always seemed to happen. But I got a lot of that out of the way early. And then when I got into dental hygiene school, it was game on. It was like, I went probably full tilt the opposite direction, like hyper-focused, all this. But I forget sometimes that people who go in like right out of high school, they're still adjusting to a lot of changes. But you know what, though? I feel like sometimes the younger ones, they just click, like it makes sense to them. Maybe because you don't know any better, you know?
Right. Isn't that the beautiful thing about the dental hygiene programs, though, is that you have such a variety of ages. Yes. And I don't know if it's changed like for colleges in general, but I feel like majority of colleges, you're just straight out of high school and this is what you're doing. Everybody's the same age, experiencing the same things. I loved that dental hygiene. I mean, there were women in our class that were in their 50s, you know, married and families, or we had men in our class that were in their 40s and doing their second career, yeah. You know, and I think that's pretty awesome that hygiene has that capability.
I know. And it's fun, like all being together in one space, you do learn a lot about yourself. And then you kind of end up with like mentors and friends from different time frames. And I think that's really helpful too. So I don't know. I thought that that was a good point that you made, the difficulty and the transition for anyone into dental hygiene school, but especially if you're coming in right out of high school or just like fresh, you know, in your first year of college or something, that can be really challenging to just navigating early adulthood life on top of how intense dental hygiene school is. Yeah, we all have our own struggles in dental hygiene school, right? So take it easy on yourself. Yeah, okay. So what do you feel like advice would be for someone who is applying to dental hygiene school? Just any advice you would give them.
Don't give up. If this is what you want to do, do it.
Yeah, and if you don't get in on the first try, like, that's okay, because I didn't. Mm-hmm. Just keep applying yourself and keep working towards that bigger and greater goal that you have for yourself. So,
yeah. And enjoy the journey along the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 1,000%. And a lot of what you were saying too about like you always like put these like goals, like once I get here, I'm going to be happy. And when I get here, I'm going to be happy. And when I get here, I'm going to be happy. It's like Laura just said, enjoy the journey of getting to that goal, because you should just be happy getting to that goal. It's not about happiness at that goal. It's happiness in the moment and being happy with where you are and who you are every single day.
Yeah, happiness comes from within.
Yes, it does. And I think sometimes you have to reverse engineer happiness, right? It's like, I'm looking at the long-term goal. Okay, how do I make that long-term goal into shorter goals, right? But also I think like, okay, if you have a shorter goal, it's like I have a yearly goal. Now I have a quarterly goal and I have a monthly, weekly. Okay, now daily, how do I achieve this goal? And for me, like I said, now I'm trying to reverse engineer, like, how do I find happiness on a daily basis that is not just pursuing the one goal? So I think that trying to look outside of yourself and that one thing and being like, don't lose yourself to that one thought process, because it's really, really easy to happen. So yeah, that's, I guess, my advice.
Journaling.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And writing down your likes, you know, we like to tell our clients, you know, just write down three small wins from every single day. Like those wins will equal larger gains down the road. And for you to be able to like mentally think back to those smaller things that you did that have helped you to get where you are today just makes that journey that much more rewarding and fulfilling.
Yeah. I highly recommend reading The Gap in the Game. That was a great book. We learned a lot from that. And I love that you talked about reverse engineering, because that's something that Danielle and I do with our clients when we work with them. It's like really breaking that down and focusing on what their why is and reverse engineering their long-term goals to shorter-term goals and continuing to go backwards.
Yeah, it's just so important. I mean, we talk about that in, like I said, that one-track mind. But I think it's important to focus on your daily wins. And that doesn't always have to be, I made one step towards this long-term goal.
You know, no.
It could be, I took care of myself today. Or I remember once I was in a clinic with the students. I was kind of going through this transformation at this time. And I was talking to them about, you know, they were so stressed. I could just see it all over their faces. And I was talking to them about taking care of yourself, self-care. And I know that that's maybe an overplayed word nowadays, but it's like, it means so much to me now to really take care of yourself and to take that time. And it could be big things, it could be small things, but I was telling them, I was like, no one else is going to take care of you like you can take care of you. I mean, people will be there for you and support you, and having a good support system is so important, but no one's going to tell you when you've gone too far, right? Like, you're going to feel it when you finally just crash out. And then you physically or mentally cannot do anything anymore. So I like those little steps that y'all recommend, the journaling, reverse engineering, and starting that process before you even go to dental hygiene school, so that maybe you have a chance of not reaching burnout in your career because you're taking care of yourself every day anyway. So yeah, that's really good. What do you feel like once you got into dental hygiene school was the hardest aspect? Like, what was the hardest part of dental hygiene school?
I think that, and I don't know if Laura feels the same, but I feel like, you know, we've talked about the fact that our program was 3 years accelerated. I feel like a lot was crammed into a little bit of time.
Yes.
And I feel like we were constantly having tests, like test after test after test after test. So I think for me, that was probably the hardest part, was just like, just the studying part of it was just a little bit overwhelming, like endlessly studying.
Yeah. Time management, I think.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out when I was going to do all the things and how to like prioritize it all.
Yeah.
And you were both young. Neither of you had any children. Were y'all married or anything like that? No.
No.
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference too for where you're at in your life and, you know, what you bring in to dental hygiene school. So I always like to ask that question because we're all juggling different things, but it's hard for anyone. But when you have those other outside external pressures, that can make it difficult too. So what advice would you give to a student who's in dental hygiene school, maybe getting ready to graduate?
Celebrate.
Celebrate. Have fun.
Yeah.
I think that it's important as for anybody, but notably, you know, a new hygienist out of school, to really write down, and I wish that I would have done this a little bit more, like, what are my core values? What do I want for myself as a dental hygienist? And then making sure that I'm showing up to interviews, you know, and staying true to that, staying true to who I am, what my core values are, showing up with questions, and just not letting them kind of take the reins and lead the interview. You want to, you know, you're just as much in the driver's seat as they are on that interview. So just staying true to who you are, I think, would be the most important piece.
I love that, Danielle.
Do you have anything that you would recommend, Laura?
Besides celebrate?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, I love what Danielle said as far as showing up for yourself in interviews and coming prepared with questions. I think that's so important. In addition to that, I would say coming out of hygiene school, know that if you're unhappy, you can always switch what you're doing. So if you are in an office that you thought you were going to love, if you don't like it, you can change it. You're never stuck to one specific spot.
And there is more to hygiene than clinical hygiene.
When, yeah.
The other thing, like, don't feel like you're stuck in those four walls, because
even though clinical hygiene is amazing.
And it is. Amazing. It's absolutely.
I know. We all still do it. We all still do it.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be your forever or like your full time.
Yeah.
Your adult be all. Yes.
I think that's so good. I mean, I worked with students and they would graduate and they would be like, I'm going to go work 5 days a week. I was like, don't.
Don't.
I was like,
I
4, 3, 4. Yeah, like go for 2, whatever. Enough to survive.
Especially, I mean, you have to think of all the demands clinical hygiene is for mentally, physically, all of that. And you want to make sure that you're doing all the right things ergonomically, you know, to providing optimal care for your patients. I think full-time clinical hygiene 5 days a week, it's honestly too much. And that can lead to burnout because it's that constant demand. So if you're able to create it where you're having other streams of revenue besides clinical hygiene, you're going to get that multiplied.
Yeah. And thinking about like the long term, like you said, I mean, that 5 days a week, it takes such a toll on your body. But you might be like, oh, if I want to do this and make the most money that I can now, and then a year in, you're spending all your money on the chiropractor or massage therapy. Because I got injured, I mean, like 6 weeks into working. And it was the stupidest injury because there was a foot pedal that I could use to lay the person back, or there was one on the chair on the bracket table, but there was also one on the side of the chair. And I just kept bending down and like pressing it to lay the chair back. I don't know why. It was just right there by my hand, but I kept bending. I got to the point where I couldn't bend the other way. So yeah, I got into the chiropractor's office. He needs doing my like range of motion test. He's like, okay, go down like this to the right. Okay, now bend to the left. And I was like, I got stuck.
Oh my goodness, that's so crazy.
Yeah. So then that kind of resolved. And then, so I was commuting all the way across San Antonio because I got this job right out of hygiene school and I love the office and they were taking a shot on me, a new graduate. And so I was driving probably like close to 2 hours, you know, one way there, one way back. And so I would drive like this with my shoulders up and my elbow up, right? And usually it was like my left shoulder was up like that. And then I would be working all day with my left shoulder up, right? As I was retracting, I kept retracting with the suction. And so next thing you know, I have all this shoulder and neck pain. And it was like, it couldn't be resolved because it was my whole life, you know, pretty much like 12 hours a day. So these are just things that I think people maybe don't think of, how your everyday life, you know, and then if you come home and you sit on the computer and you lift your arm up, you know, it's like all of those things play into your health and well-being, and pain can lead to burnout very, very quickly because it's always there nagging, right, in the back of your mind. So,
yeah.
Well, I would like to just take a minute to have you guys kind of plug yourselves, share where people can find you, and any maybe last little tips or anything else you would like to share with the listeners.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having us. It's been a pleasure. Love chatting. If you need help along the journey, we're here to support you. You know, our mission is to help empower 100,000 hygienists beat burnout and grow within their career. Like truly from the bottom of our hearts, we just want all to succeed. Danielle, anything that you want to add?
Yeah. I think that is perfectly said, is, you know, our mission and who we are. But yeah, definitely anybody that's feeling burnt out or, you know, knows that there's just more for them in their career. And just, I think for us, for Laura and I, we started doing what we're doing because we wish that we had somebody to turn to, like you had said earlier, beat burnout, find growth. I have been told so many times in my career that there's no growth in dental hygiene. You're a clinical hygienist and that's it. And I just knew that wasn't true. And so I did all the things that I needed to do to, you know, make that not true anymore. And prove them wrong because I knew that could not possibly be true.
Yeah.
And so just being that person for somebody else, if you're just unsure where to begin, you're stuck, you just need some guidance, like just turn to us. That's what we're here for. We're here to guide you and be that accountability buddy and that support buddy for you along the journey. You can find us on Instagram, Diamond Dental Coaching. We are also on LinkedIn, I believe Diamond Dental Coaching as well. Maybe
Diamond Dental Hygiene for coaching on LinkedIn.
DiamondDentalHCC.com right now is our website. And through there, you can book a call with us just to chat. Anything anywhere else, Law? I think that's...
If you wanted to email us, they could email us at DiamondDentalHCC@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you for everything that you're doing for hygienists and for the profession and helping people kind of overcome burnout and also grow in their careers, because that's just incredible. So I love your mission. Thank you again for coming on the show. And I hope to meet you guys in person one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Thank you so much.